9. Enjoy that good singing. Praise God. That was good. Awesome. And there's bragging on the pastor a bit ago. And I said, I don't know him. No. How good it is to have a good pastor. Loves God and just a great fella. And you couldn't, in these 20 years, you couldn't have picked a better man than Brother Snyder Turner. And is that all you want me to tell him? Yeah. Okay. Well, isn't it good to be here tonight?
Amen.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. You won't be here the rest of the week if the Lord hasn't come. If the Lord has come, we'll turn it over to him right there. Oh, Charlie. Yeah, Charlie, he'll be all right. Did you hear about the fellow that came home from his work one day, and his wife always had supper, and she said, he said, where's supper? It's always on the table. She said, I didn't cook any. He said, you always cook any. She said, well, I joined the women's lib today. I'm tired of being your slave. You're going to wipe them now, and you're going to cook your own meal, wash your own clothes, make up your own bed. He said, what? He said, yeah, I told you I joined women's lib today. And he said, great day. How would you like to not see me for about 3 days? She said, I like that fine. And right at the end of the third day, she's able to open her eyes just a little bit. That ended women's lib. Amen. Did you know they're really, honestly, they're trying to change the book of Hebrews to Hebrews. And we're in a mess, but I'm glad the Lord's still on the throne. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And then he says his name shall be called, and I want to preach tonight from these names, Christ is all you need. Christ is all you need. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This verse right here tells us a lot about the Lord Jesus. I these three things I want to give you. I heard a preacher give this years ago, and I'd like to enlarge upon it. He said, unto you a child is born. That's the crib. And then he said, a son is given. That's the cross. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's the crown. You see, at his birth, he was made in the likeness of sinful men. At the cross, he was there, the Lamb of God, shedding his blood. I've never got over the fact he died for me. I never have gotten over. If you can read Isaiah 53, and it doesn't about he wounded for our transgression. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd be in a mess if Jesus hadn't come. And yet you have to beg people to come to church. You beg people to do this, that, and the other. I'm just saying, look where we would have been had Christ not come to this world. The crib, the cross, and the crown. He's coming to rule and reign. Hallelujah. And that we're going to be coming back with him. He's not going to come as Allah or Buddha or nobody else. He'll be Jesus, the King of Kings. I think some of you didn't have a nap this afternoon. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Lamb of God, the wonder of it all. Jesus is all you need, and all you need. You don't need anything else. You have need of the Lord. So let's take up these five things right quickly. And I'm just honored to be here, Miss Joyner. Thank you for the basket and your kindness always all these years, and just a joy for us. I am 83. I don't care if you know that. That's God. And I don't know why seniors, especially women, don't want to tell their age. John Hull is 90-something, and I don't care when I used to... John, how old are you? He said, none of your business. Well, he didn't tell you how old he was, but I knew. But what I'm saying is, you ought to be glad of wherever you are. Hallelujah. Be happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, he's a wonder of the dullness of life. He fulfills He's the great wonder of God because of the dullness of life. The Bible said he came, and that word wonder come from the word wonderful. And he's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. I love my mother and my daddy, and I love my brothers, and I love a lot of people in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, nobody has been as good to me as my Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody. Here he is. He's a wonder. Brother, he's a wonder of wonders. He's Jesus Christ. He's the God-man. He is not only that, but he's a wonder of God. He's a wonder of the world. He's a wonder of the believer. He's a wonderful Christ. If you believe that, say amen. Jesus is a great wonder. I remember for the dullness of life. I mean, man alive, somebody asked Joy some years ago, said, what do you and preachers do for entertainment? Said, all y'all do is go to church. And what do you do for entertainment? Joy said, go to church. The most entertaining place you can go is to the house of God with the wonderful people of God. And we find here, I remember years ago, I was thinking go out in a meeting somewhere, and they're interviewing Liz Taylor. Liz Taylor had eight husbands. But this man said to her, Liz, then why did you go to Betty Ford's hospital to get off of alcohol? Said, you're a rich woman, you're a beautiful woman, and many people would like to be just like you. Many women around the world be like just like you. And said, not only that, then later you got off on drugs. And why? You have everything that you could have. I mean, men, riches and fame and all the other things. Why did you do that? You know what she said? Because I was lonely. I said to my wife, I said, baby, I'm not on the who's who list or who's not list, but I ain't lonely. Oh, hallelujah. I'll have to spell myself. And right here, Jesus Christ. There was a guy named Eddie Murphy. 2 years ago, Eddie Murphy made $65 million 1 year in the movie industry. And Barbara Walters was interviewed him one night. And she said, Eddie, as I mentioned it, all the vehicles he had, and said, Eddie, how does it feel to be on top? And a man with $65 million 1 year, a mansion and all the cars. He said, there's nothing up here. But in Jesus Christ, hallelujah, you can be broke and be happy. In Jesus Christ, he's a wonder of wonders. And thank God for that many years ago. Let me just show you this. When you get up, fellas or ladies, and get up in the morning, maybe you wash your face and comb your hair and eat breakfast, brush your teeth, go to work, eat lunch, and then come home, eat supper, sit in a chair and have a nap, and then go to bed that night, get up the next. And you got a routine, and life becomes, you do this every day. Certain things that you do every day. But what I'm saying, Jesus Christ came into my life. I don't know about you, but I've never been sorry that I trusted Christ as my Savior and as my Lord. My whole life changed when I found Jesus Christ as my Savior. Every day, when Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, thank God he's the greatest wonder this world has ever known. Hallelujah! Jesus is the Lamb of God. The good man sings that song years ago, I searched for him and knew not what I searched for. I longed for him and knew what I longed for till I found Jesus and he feels that longing in my heart. I never heard anybody say, I'm sorry I got saved, but it's glad the joy of the Lord is there. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. I remember years ago a preacher friend of mine, and his wife had a nervous breakdown after her surgery, and she had a nervous breakdown, and a lot of things were going on in the church and all that, and he just went into the house one day on a Wednesday night. We're going to have a deacon meeting. Some of the deacons called and said, we're working late and can't come. He kind of got upset about it. Went over to the house and the phone rang, and instead of answering, he just yanked it off the wall. And then he went into a bedroom and broke down the curtain, brought them all down and lay across the bed and cried like a baby. I went to see him. He said, but I found the scripture. Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. If anybody ought to have a peace of mind, whatever happens to you and me, I want you to know there's a peace that passeth all understanding. He said, I'll give you perfect peace. May I inject here, when my oldest son, Tommy Stephen, went to be with the Lord, we sit around the bed singing, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I'll see. Brother Snyder, I found a peace. I found the comfort of God that I've never known before in all my life. In fact, it's still there. Big hole in your heart, yes. But hallelujah, in the midst of my storm. That's okay. Can I have a spell right now? You understand what I'm saying? God said, I'll give you perfect peace under all circumstances. Jesus, no wonder he's wonderful for the dullness of life. Now notice this. He's the counselor for the directions of life. Now, a lot of people used to write, Dear Abby. Dear Abby. She had problems of her own. And one time, Brother Snyder, somebody wrote Abby, Dear Abby. I used to read it when I was home and take the paper, but not anymore. She's gone anyway. But anyway, somebody wrote her a note and said, Dear Abby, what does it mean when somebody got a chip on her shoulder? She wrote a classic. That means they got a wooden head. And immediately I thought of Baptist. Amen. They don't have the peace. They don't have the peace. God, he says, we're not, if you read Psalm 1, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't go down to the beauty shop and see a woman been married 4 times and tell you what to do about your life, married life. Don't go to the world for advice. Don't go there. You ask, if you want at least anything that you want to do, ask God in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God will direct your path. If you want to know, God will give you the path that he wants you to walk in it while you're here upon the earth. Yes, sir. God says, all things, bring them to me, bring them to me, bring them to me. Hey, sometimes you get to the place and say, Lord, what can I do? Well, you just go to him and he'll be glad to tell you. A lot of people, pastor, used to come to me when I pastored, they wanted some advice. And they come and maybe their husband they're having difficulties or whatever, and even sometimes for other things. And then I'd tell them what I said, the Bible said. And when the guy said, they said, that's what I thought you'd say. I said, what'd you come for? What did you come for? What they wanted to do was for me to agree with what they were going to do. But I gave them scripture for it. I'm just saying, hey, I'm told there one psychiatrist for 6,000 people. And just one for 6,000. A few years ago, Brother Snyder. That's all. I'll get it off here in a minute. Caught on the hammer. And what do you want to say now? They come. They had a lot of, several years ago, they had a lot of psychiatrists on the TV. And they had a blonde. She had been hit with an ugly stick. I mean, man, and she was just a smiling. Said, I'm your psychic. I got up from my seat. I was in the motel and went over. And I put my finger on her nose. And I said, I don't need one. You don't have to go to anybody. Fortune tellers. You go to Jesus Christ. He's the counselor. There were two men standing at a psychiatrist's office, standing there talking. One of them said, are you coming or going? He said, if I knew that, I wouldn't be here. Hey, today we need advice. What are we going to do? Oh, hallelujah, I know where to go. There's somebody we can go to. It's okay, I'll shout myself. He's your counselor. You know why he's your counselor? Because he loves you. He loves you. Jesus won't steer you wrong. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know, I've had Christian people say to me about coming to the altar, well, I know the Lord gets tired of me coming. Do you ever get tired of your boys calling you Marshall? Brother Snyder, do you ever get tired of your children calling? Oh, no. I like to talk to them. I like for them to call. Sam's been off his business. And last several weeks, and with various things, and I can get to talk to him. He'd send a text every once in a while. But I love. And the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and He wants you to come. And the thing, he knows about me anyway, but He loves me. It's hard to believe. I've had Christians say when they get away from the Lord, does God still love me? There was never a time God hasn't loved you. He loves us. He did while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. When I was a sinner, He loved me. And when I got saved, He loved me. God's love doesn't do like that. God doesn't change at all. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you've been through. God's still the same. He never changes. Praise His holy name. Right there. By the way, His advice is free. Oh, well. I want to show you right here. Here in the Word of God, He is because He loves you. Not only that, He's your counselor because He knows everything. Why is it people try to hide things from God? When I pastor knock on the door and you have to, I guess, pastor, and you hear, I've heard people say, it's a preacher, it's a preacher. And what they were doing, hiding those Love Story magazine in that center cushion and couch. Don't run from the preacher, he knows all about you. I tell you something, if he knows what you're thinking right now, do you know what? I wish he'd hurry up, that loudmouth preacher. I won't go home. He knows that. I've been telling people on Sunday morning, maybe 12 o'clock, but you're already at the restaurant eating. Your mind, God knows all about you. And to tell you the truth, that's pretty scary. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about you. Because, hey, when you go to the doctor, he says, what's wrong? But you go to Jesus, He already knows. When you go to the Lamb of God, He already knows. Before I come, had a man years ago talking about prayer. And he says, well, the Bible said He knows what you need before you ask. So why should you pray? I said, because it said ask. Hey, the reason that sometimes people go through difficult times is we look to the wrong person for advice. We look to the wrong person for the peace. He knows everything about you. He has all power. He has all knowledge. He knows all things. He's everywhere. Now, that's not a bad person to know. I mean, anywhere, God knows everything about you. And say again, He, thirdly, is the person who prays for you. Did you know right now, Alan, did you know right now, that Jesus Christ is praying for you? Did you know He's praying for you? Sometimes you call the pastor, pray for me, and that's the right thing to do. But tonight, right now, Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father making intercession for you. 24 hours a day, God waits. He prays for you. I've been going down the interstate for maybe alone in a motel and kind of lonely and, this, that, and the other, maybe going through a low thought in my life or just whatever. But then I've been driving down the interstate sometime and tired, traveling, fired, driving. But all of a sudden, I just feel somebody's praying for me and it dawned upon me, Jesus prays for me. Woo! Hallelujah! God prays for me. He prays for me. He's a wonderful counselor. Hey, by the way, if you've lost a friend, He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Yeah, people, you thought they were friends, but they come down and they were not your friend. But hey, you got somebody that said, I'll stick closer to you than your brother. The Lord Jesus Christ is there. If you're burdened, if you got a burden, guess what He says? Call Snyder Turner. No! There's somebody higher than Snyder Turner. There's somebody higher than anybody, the president or anybody else. The Lord, if you know, He said, call upon me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come to me. Come to me. That's why the preachers ask you to come to the altar and pray. How many times, by the way, I know I've shared this, but I got in the interstate one day and this guy was preaching on prayer. And here's what he said. Have you ever felt the urge to pray? And I just spoke it out loud. I said, yes, sir. You know what he said? He said, it means God wants to do something for you. And he also said it might be somebody somewhere praying. You might be praying for something, body you don't even know. It might be a missionary. It might be somebody in trouble and asking God to raise up somebody. But I want to tell you one thing, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's there praying for us and our mighty. He is our mighty God. And if you read the Word of God, that is when you're lonely, He's a friend. Whatever comes to you, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is right there with you. Hallelujah. Amen. He is. Not only that, He's your mighty God. Now this deals with the difficulties of life. The difficulties of life. Anybody here ever have any difficulties? Shake your head and make some racket. Everybody has difficulties. I've only told my wife one time I was discouraged. Only one time. Only one time. And here's the reason. I just made it a practice. But I was pastoring Temple Baptist Church in Chattanooga. And I pulled out in one of my old Bibles the other day, and hadn't read in a long time. It's one I used years ago. And I pulled it out, and we had in Sunday school 879. Not counting the preachers. I mean, God was blessing the church. But here's what happened. I had a young boy, 14 years of age, Sammy's best friend, got killed by a car. Bam, gone. Sammy was talking to him about finance. What happened? Not too long, that was a hard one. Not too long after then, a young 14-year-old boy fell off the back of a pickup truck and hit his head, his shirt. It's going off a truck, and when he did, hit that, and he died. One week, I had 35 people scattered in hospitals. And what you don't understand about a pastor, Frank Rosser said one time, Pastor, that every church member is like a little termite. Each one takes a little bite out of you. He was telling about he'd call you. These people can call you any time. But what I'm saying, and you drain yourself. You just don't feel like you got anything left, and you drain yourself. You're giving out and giving out and giving out. And then there were other deaths connected in with the church and everything. And so I went over to Erlanger Hospital in Chattanooga to see this man in the hospital. And while I'm praying with him, I was praying to the Lord. Lord, somebody needs to pray for me. I'm empty. But I'm praying that God will see. So I got home. Joy was out in the yard. I said, hey, babe, I was on television in Chattanooga 8 o'clock for 12 years. And every morning at 8 o'clock. I'll tell you that, and I'll tell you why I told you that. Anyway, I came home, and she's out in the yard. And she said, what's wrong, baby? I said, just come on. Get in the car. And we'll go eat. Come on. She got in the car, and she said, what is it? I said, run over there, pray for that man. And that man, while I was there, honey, I don't have anything else to give. I mean, just those boys died, and all these people are sick, and others are dying, and everything. And said, what do you want to do? I said, I'm going to resign the church. She said, what? I said, yeah, I'm going to get a job, go to work at 8 and get off at 4. And nobody's going to call me. Come quick. Something has happened. Come quick. Preacher, this, that, and the other. And I said, give me a job. I don't have to do that. I'll be able to have a little more time with you boys. She said, I've never been this way. I've never seen you this way. I said, I've never been this way before. So we'll go down through East Ridge. Stop at Edson. They've closed after 50 years now. They've had good vegetables. And she said, she'd never eaten there. She said, what you stopping here for? I said, they got good veggies. Let's go in there. And after I got in there, I thought of it later. It was God ordained because I'm dragging low. I mean, man, I just down. And I walked in and I hear a man say, hey, preacher, how you doing? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just told you how I was doing. But I heard one of the boys, if I crossed all my fingers, I could lie, and it wouldn't count. I said, I'm doing great, sir. And he said, well, preacher, I watched your program yesterday morning, and I wasn't even going to church. And he said, man, you got me all stirred up. He said, I hollered at my wife, baby, let's go to church. This preacher's got me stirred up. Oh, wow. But here's what he said. Here's what God sent me there for. He said, preacher, whatever you do, don't quit. I scooted down there, Brother Snyder. I scooted down, started crying. She said, what is it? I said, I'm ready to go again. Hallelujah! I'm glad I have somebody who loves me, who prays for me, and he's the one that I need. He's my hero, God. Hallelujah! He's yours as well. The most satisfied people in the world are to be God's people. Set your affections on things above. Forget about these things, and there's certain things you have to do. But I'm just talking about keep your mind focused upon the Lord. It's not going to get easier in the days to come to serve God. Many things are happening. They're going to keep happening. And it looks terrible. But thank God you can encourage yourself in Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen. Hallelujah. So I was coming home one time. This fall, I always have about 5 weeks when I'm in a area pretty close together. And it'd be foolish to drive home after the meeting and go back about 550 miles. And so Joy was coming back home. And I don't know, just had kind of a pity party. And I said, Jesus. I said, Holy Spirit, tell Jesus to scoot over here and love on me. You know what he did? Jesus is somebody who prays for you and cares for you. And all that, he's the mighty God. He's the hero God. God can do anything. Did you know that God can heal people? Did you know that? The first encounter I had as a young preacher was in Natal, Alabama. I was just assistant pastor. Pastor was gone. One of the deacons called and said, Preacher, I went to the doctor today, and in a few days after I build up some strength, he said I need surgery. Said, would you bring the deacon over and anoint us with oil? And I said, sure. We ran together around the bed and anointed that man, that deacon with oil, prayed. I mean, the heaven came down. I said, Mr. Clark, I don't know what the Lord did. I said, you might still have to have surgery. But it's going to be okay. But God did something here tonight. All the men agreed. And so in several days, he went to the hospital and was going to check in. And that afternoon, he called me. And I said, how's it going, Mr. Clark? He said, I'm home. I said, home? He said, yeah. Said they took about 6 or 8 x-rays, and whatever was there is not there. Benny Hinn was nowhere around. God did that. God can do anything he wants to do. I'll share with you one more. I had a lady and 2 or 3 more I could share, but this one especially. I'd preached 12 messages on Psalm 23. And when I got through and was fixing to dismiss and go home after the altar service and everything, and I said, let's stand, I heard somebody say, Brother Burgess, can I say something? Her first name was Joyce. I said, sure. She said, I haven't told you, but I'm going to the hospital tomorrow. I got a hole in my heart. But I just feel like that I want you to anoint me with oil. I said, sure. So I got to deacons around, and another lady over there said, I just feel the same way. And she had had cancer in her sinuses. They had did several x-rays and had done that in her nose. And so we anointed those. I didn't go for a day or two because I know they're doing all kind of tests and stuff. So I went over on Wednesday night and before the prayer service, and I was walking down the hall, and they were in a semi-private room, and I saw them crying. And I stepped back so they couldn't see me. I said, Lord, help me to say something they need. I walked in there, and she said, oh, preacher, we're not crying because we're sad. said, we've just been reading Psalm 23. And said, we're happy. Have y'all ever shouted in the hospital? You don't even do it at church. I know you weren't in the hospital. In a few minutes, the doctor came. And I stepped outside and let him talk to them and stayed in there quite a bit. And finally, her husband, Newell, came out and said, preacher, I'll call you in the morning. And he said, I know you got to go to prayer meeting. I said, okay. And let me know. And I got up early and took a shower, put my suit on, and waited. 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock. Hello? Said, preacher, this is Newell. I said, when's the surgery? He said, we're home. I said, did she take a cold or something? He said, oh, no. They took about 8 x-rays, and that hole's not there. You understand what I'm saying? God's a mighty God. I'm not saying don't go to the doctors. I'm just saying, hey, he can do that. He chooses to do that sometimes. But I know, I hear these men, they hit them. I command you. You don't command God to do nothing. You don't even go down and get a doctor and tell them what to do. Well, I went over to Parkridge Hospital to see the lady with that. And I got in there and she saw me and she started crying. I said, oh, no. And she come over and said, preacher, the doctor came in here a while ago. And I looked up and he's shaking his head. I said, doctor, is it that bad? He said, bad? He said, we've done everything up there. But whatever's there, that part was there, is no longer there. What I'm saying, we got a God that can do anything. Go understand that. Hey, aren't y'all glad this is Jubilee time? Aren't you glad we can have a Lord we can worship and know? But He's a mighty God. He deals with the difficulties of our life. It isn't making a difference what it is. I'm glad He, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, He fought the battle at Calvary and won the victory. He's a mighty God. Now come down. He's the everlasting Father. Now here a son is called a father. The everlasting Father. He's talking about Jesus. Here is. He's for the dimensions of life. Now, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus stepped out of everlasting and stepped into time. That one day that I will step into time, out of time, into everlasting. Hallelujah. Jesus stepped out of everlasting and stepped into time. Let me tell you about my Lord. He died on the cross. The soldier said he's dead. His mama said he's dead. But listen what he said. We have everlasting life. That tells you the kind it is. And he talked about eternal life. That tells you how long it lasts. Oh, man. Hey. So when we die, he didn't stay dead. I've often wondered, Pastor, if the devil was sorry that he had him crucified. I tell you something else I think about the other day. I'm looking up Adam and Eve and asking why did they sin cause all these problems we have. But look here. Right here. That old rock rattled and rolled. And I believe the birds started singing, he's alive. I believe the tree leaves are saying he's alive. He did that because one day he gave us again everlasting life. That tells you how long it lasts, and eternal tells you the kind that it is. And I'm glad I got everlasting, eternal, everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life. You couldn't tell most Baptists were alive at all. But I'm telling you, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath life. I was reading about a preacher in a book some time ago, and he got down to the end of that. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son, several times. So when he got home that day, and his little daughter came up and said, Daddy, said your record got stuck today, didn't it? He said, yeah, but didn't it stick in a good place? Jesus Christ is our everlasting Father. Yesterday He helped me. Today He did the same. How long will this continue? Forever. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Let me give you the last thing. He's the Prince of Peace. This has to do with the disturbances of life. The disturbance. We get disturbed. Did you know that they're selling more Valium today than they are aspirin? We have a neighbor. They got saved when I was in Chattanooga years ago. They live a couple blocks over from us. She has to have sleeping pills. She can't sleep, she says, without sleeping pills. But ladies and gentlemen, it's talking about what sleeping pills would do to your mind. It can mess up your mind and maybe have dementia or Alzheimer's. But somehow it has that in there. But she can't face any problem. No problem. It's just unreal. And she just had two teeth pulled. I put her to sleep. She won't have any. She won't have any. I don't care what to do. They got to put her to sleep before they do that. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that He is a cure for the disturbances of life. We did face. These are disturbing days that we have. And there are books out there. How to cope, how to cope, how to cope. Open the book. Open this book. It tells you how to cope. It tells you how to live. It tells us that it deals with the disturbances of life. That we can have peace in the nasty now and now. A peace that the world doesn't know. A peace in the midst of our storm. Why? Because He is our everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is exactly what He said it would be. He gives peace that passeth all understanding. How can you have peace in the midst of a storm? Are you that sing as a song, He walked on the water. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the terrible sea? And that's been on my mind for several days. We was in a meeting over in Chattanooga and had 10 professions of faith, and they sang that a night or two. And so when you come down, there's a person. Sometimes your wife may not know or not understand, or your husband may not understand. Nobody else understands. But you always remember one thing. Right in the middle of your life, right in the middle of your storm, Jesus said, I'll be there with you. And then He said, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms. You remember what Bourbon Cake said? Underneath, it means below bottom. Remember that? Bourbon said that means when the bottom drops out, He's below that. So why should we be discouraged? Why should we be blue? Everything that you face in life, these five things will take care of it for you. These five things about our Lord Jesus will take care of all of these things. There is no peace, the Bible says, to the wicked. You know why so many people are troubled? Great day. I believe there's a lot of demonic spirits are so working in the world today. Why are people just killing people for no reason? Shooting them down the street, going down the street and knocking them down. I believe there's a demon-possessed people today doing what they do. But a child of God, we have peace. People come to me and say, you're always this happy. I say, no, I just don't tell you. But I got a friend. What a friend. His name is Jesus. One of my dearest friends right here, not here. But I want to tell you something. There's somebody that's always around. I don't care where I am, where I go, what I do. And I want to lift Him up. And I pray I've lifted you up to Him this morning, tonight, to make you be more faithful and more dedicated. Let's have a jubilee of commitment of ourselves to Jesus Christ. Him. this church is not about you. I've heard people say, that's my church. No, it's not your church. That's where you attend. This church is about Jesus. As much as you love your pastor, this is not his church. It's the Lord's church. What have you faced? What are making the difference? What have you faced? The Lord said, I got the answer for you. That's why the moment your pastor is going to come and he's going to give an invitation, they're going to have a song. If you've got a special need, maybe to get close to God, maybe you lost that burden that you used to have for lost people. Maybe there's a time you prayed more than you do now. And sometimes you wonder, Lord, hey, let me tell you something. Have you ever got down to pray and you think your prayer wasn't getting above your head? But you remember this. He hears the slightest whisper. David prayed. Daniel prayed 21 days. But God said, I heard you from the first. Oh, mother, I told Andrew, I said, a mother has an ear for a baby that a husband don't have. I remember when our boys were small, they were born in Alabama, and about one night after 12 o'clock, Joy got up and I woke up and I said, what is it? She said, I thought I heard the boys. I thought I heard them. I didn't hear it. But I want you to know if he hears every whisper, every prayer, and he loves you. He cares for you. Give him every bit of yourself to Jesus Christ. Call people that are dropped out of church, not going anywhere. Call those that are lost. I think about that man that used to pull that oxygen tank and go out knocking on doors and visiting. And all of that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the latter days. We need each other, and you need to get to the book and see how it's going to come out. We're going to be all right when it's over. But give our best to the Lord. Let's stand with the heads bowed, please. Here comes the instrument to play. While you're meditating, while you're coming, I know you've been praying for this meeting, but let's commit ourselves to Christ. Not just this week, and then it'll be over. No, no. But for something lasting. Churches like this is fastly fading out because they will have entertainment than revival. They have other things rather than revival. Jubilees. But God Almighty is here to help us. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Snyder.